listening to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm not joined by anybody because of the timing after the game and driving back from San Diego. Today's show is going to be, well, we'll see how long the show goes, but it's mostly going to be kind of rapid reaction. I haven't had a chance to go back and rewatch the game, which is something I'm going to be trying to do over the course of the season a little bit more, just to make sure I get all of the details that I want. But I haven't had a chance to quite go back and rewatch this one. I actually wanted to focus mostly on honestly the vibe and everything. LeBron James played for the Lakers in an NBA basketball game, albeit preseason, but still. So that was a lot of fun. Took the wife down there to San Diego. Got to hang out with some other writers who covered the Nuggets. Got to see Harrison there at the game in his super spiffy coat. It was a really good time. I got to see some tool bags fight in front of me because one slapped the other upside the head without any kind of warning. It was an interesting weekend. You guys know where to find the show. Today, basically, the way things are going to go is obviously we have to talk about LeBron at the beginning. I want to talk about Brandon Ingram. He really impressed me. And then finally, I'm going to finish with Rajon Rondo and JaVale McGee. And then, you know, if there's any general points to make, I'll make those as well. Today's show is brought to you in part by Mizuma and by Vivid Seats. More on them as the show goes along. You guys know where to find me. You guys know where to find the show. Let's start here with LeBron. He played way more than I thought he would. He played in the first half only. It was pretty obvious that he wasn't going to play in the second half. But even despite not playing in the second half, we were watching him from we were sitting behind the bench. And we wanted to see kind of how he was interacting with guys. He was always coaching. I remember one play in particular, Ingram drove to the basket, got poked on the eye or in the eye. And LeBron, you know, walked out all the way out onto the court. I thought for a second he might be checking in without checking in. But he just went out there, made sure that Ingram was okay, did a little bit of coaching, and then went back to the bench. And that was really entertaining to see. And in terms of his play itself, It's a single game, and I would imagine he played like 16 minutes or something, probably even less than that. But a few things stood out to me in terms of his playing. One, he is very obviously taking a back seat the way he did in Cleveland. It kind of reminded me of the stuff he was doing in Cleveland where, and this is, I think, for different reasons. In Cleveland, he kind of showed up and he said, all right, I'm wiping my hands of this right now. You guys can continue to make the same mistakes that made you guys the losers that you were without me here. And hopefully learn that, okay, you guys should probably start listening to me in the way that I'm going to go about things here. I know he's not doing that because he respects some of the veterans that are on the court with him more than I think he respected the guys that he showed up to in Cleveland to play with. But it was very obvious that he kind of wanted to feel out his teammates. He wasn't very aggressive. It was very rare that he, you know, I think he only had like three isolation possessions, none of which I believe he made. But you did still see, like, I thought he was a lot more active on defense than I thought it would see him. He was really working, especially in help situations. And that's something that he and the rest of the Lakers are really going to have to do if they want to play as small as they apparently want to play. So that was interesting to watch. The other thing that I found really intriguing in watching LeBron play out there last night was, and even Jen noticed it, he really coasts. And it's not, I don't mean it in a pejorative. He's very good at picking his spots and figuring out, okay, here's where I need to maybe show a little bit more aggression. Here's where I need to take a step back. Here's where maybe I can take this possession off on offense. The nice thing about the number of ball handlers and creators that the Lakers have is that LeBron can take offensive possessions off. Usually in Cleveland, with the way that team was built around him, especially after the Kyrie Irving trade, usually if he took an offensive possession off, it was just not going to, that possession was doomed for failure. It was not going to work out. But here with the Lakers, when you have somebody like Rajon Rondo, eventually Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, other guys, Josh Hart, I saw doing some creating. Kyle Kuzma does more creating for himself, obviously. Lance Stevenson considers himself a creator. Especially after watching him play tonight, I still don't feel very good about that. But because of the way that this team is built, LeBron can kind of relax every so often on both ends of the court if he needs to, and that's going to be interesting to watch how that kind of looks and how that takes place, and whether that's a sustainable way to approach the game with this team. But for now, I think it makes some sense there. And look, I'm not going to make any sweeping judgments aside from saying that Lance Stephenson isn't very good. I'm not going to make any sweeping judgments based on one preseason game in which LeBron didn't even play in the second half. I saw some things out there that made me, they kind of hammered home some of the theories I had on this team, and that was kind of fun to watch actually take place. Let's take a quick second here, and when we come back, I want to talk about Brandon Ingram. I already kind of alluded to him on the offensive end, but on the defensive end was where I was really excited by what I saw. Rajon Rondo actually alluded to or mentioned Brandon Ingram on the defensive end, So let's take a quick second here for a quick word from our sponsors. We'll come back here and we'll talk about Brandon Ingram. I want to talk to you guys about Mazuma USA. They have been incredible in supporting the show. They have been incredibly patient in dealing with me. they are working with me hands-on to help me organize my expenses in running the podcast, getting ready for tax seasons, because both Jen and I are both independent contractors. They do everything. They do bookkeeping. They have accountants that you can talk to. They have CPAs on staff. They're all here in the U.S., so they are incredible. They have been really good in working with me. I am not easy to work with, especially when it comes to money. But they have been great. I've been working with Carly. What I'm going to do now, though, is I'm going to give you their number that I need you guys to call if you guys are interested. It starts at only $75 a month, and they do all your bookkeeping for all of your small business needs. So call 213-947-6926. Again, that is 213-947-6926 to set up a free consultation. One more time, write the number down, 213-947-6926. And give them a call over there. Mazuma has been incredible, so let's continue to support them. They have everything that you might need if you're looking for somebody to help you organize your finances as a small business. They are great. So a free consultation. I'm going to give you that number one more time, 213-947-6926. Mazuma, your small business's one-stop shop for bookkeeping, taxes, and unlimited accounting advice. So Brandon Ingram, Brandon Ingram made me look like an idiot last year, and I'm really happy that he did. And for stretches of the game last night, he once again like hammered home, you were an idiot to doubt me. So that was really fun to see. The guys in camp so far have been talking a ton about Kuzma before training camp kicked off, because Ingram wasn't practicing or playing pickup with his teammates. He was in North Carolina for much of the offseason. You didn't really hear too much about him. But he came out there, and whenever he was on the court, you knew he was on the court on both ends out there. Offensively, I think it's going to take a little bit of time. He's not really a spot-up shooter. He is going to have to be a little bit more aggressive going at closeouts, and in order to be able to do that, he's going to have to show more of an ability as a spot-up shooter. It'll be interesting to see if the Lakers try to employ any kind of two-man game between him and LeBron. I doubt it. I'm more interested to see just kind of how that works out there offensively. But defensively, holy crap. I did not think that this soon, and look, maybe the next game, maybe on Tuesday, he goes out there and lays an egg on the defensive end. But there was one play in particular that stands out to me, and it was on the end of the court closest to me, closest to where Jen and I were sitting. He first blocked a shot, and I think it was on Jokic. First, he blocked either Jokic or Plumlee. It was just some tall, blonde-headed white guy. But he was he blocked the shot at the rim, and then the ball kind of made its way out to the perimeter again, and whoever got it tried to drive in again, and Ingram slid over and took a charge as well. I thought that's the kind of activity that, let's say Ingram doesn't quite figure it out offensively in terms of his fit playing alongside LeBron James. Well, then that means he's going to have to be that much more impactful defensively. And I think it's really cool to see that at such an early spot in preseason and in this experiment, playing him alongside LeBron, you really get the sense that he is focused on impacting the game defensively first and foremost, and then offensively, as that comes along, he just becomes that much more balanced of a player. But defensively, he was out there, he was utilizing his length, he was in passing lanes, I thought he did a really good job of containment. Sometimes with players, when they focus on, or when they are focused on making an impact defensively that they haven't done quite yet, they overexert themselves defensively and they put themselves in situations, especially in isolation, where they struggle to keep their guy in front, and actually does more harm than good. Think like Russell Westbrook. Remember back when Utah was playing against OKC and Ricky Rubio had those solid games in a row, and then Russell Westbrook went out there and said that, well, that's going to end now, or something stupid like that. He overexerted himself, got himself into foul trouble, and Ricky Rubio torched him anyway. I thought it was good to see that Ingram, from where I was sitting, and again, I'm going to go back and rewatch this. God bless Spectrum Sportsnet. From what I saw from where I was sitting, it looked to me like Ingram was doing a really good job of staying in front of his guy and containing his guy in front of him so that he can then close up that space using his length and athleticism. That's some maturity on the defensive end that you don't often see from guys his age. And again, look, I'm a little iffy on how he and LeBron are going to fit offensively, but if he can be a defensive force and he can play out there next to Lonzo, who is also very good defensively, that makes it so that LeBron can then focus a little bit more on the offensive end. And look, I know it's going to get old to keep on hearing how important it is to get LeBron James rest. You think, well, the Lakers are paying him all this money, we keep hearing all this stuff about LeBron and all this stuff, but it would be kind of a waste to see him overexert himself in the regular season and have nothing to kind of take that next step forward, kick it into another gear higher come playoff time, because he's just that exhausted. So when you hear people talk about managing LeBron's minutes, it's not just a moving forward thing, which is also important, but this season it's going to be really important to be that LeBron's minutes not only are managed from a quantity standpoint, but in terms also of the type of minutes that he plays out there on the court. Those things all come into account as the season goes along. So Ingram, I thought, was the, aside from LeBron being really, really good and it being really exciting to have LeBron in a Lakers uniform, I thought, to me, in terms of Lakers out there, I thought Ingram was pretty consistently the second best player outside of LeBron. And that's kind of what, if the Lakers really want to be special this year, that's kind of what they're going to need, is Ingram is going to, Ingram really unlocks what this team is capable of. And if we're going to keep seeing a lot of what we saw on Sunday night from Ingram, and again, maybe I was watching, I wasn't paying as close attention just to Ingram, some of my opinions here might change after I rewatch this. But based on what I saw, I thought he was very good. And if he remains, if he plays at that level consistently, the Lakers become a lot more dangerous of a team. All right, we're going to take another quick second here to again get a word from our sponsors. And when we come back, I want to talk about some of the veteran additions that the Lakers made. I think we're getting some clarity as to, one, why they signed them, or two, the kinds of roles that they're going to be playing when or the kinds of roles that the coaching staff is expecting these guys to be able to play. So hang tight. Let's talk really quickly about Vivid Seats. I used Vivid Seats to buy tickets to last night's game. I wanted to try out for myself, and it gave me an excuse to go to last night's game. I used the promo code Locked On, and I got $20 off my purchase. It was super easy to put that in. It was really easy to find a good deal on for the game as well. They do a great job at putting together an interface that's really easy for all the customers to use. And the big thing here is that they give you the opportunity to go and watch and make memories. And I'm telling you right now, I'm never going to forget being in the building for the first time LeBron stepped onto the court as a Laker. And it would not have been so smooth in getting there and getting the tickets, all that situated, as it had I not used Vivid Seats. So again, that's vividseats.com/app. If you're going through a browser, find the Vivid Seats app in the App Store for iTunes or Android's App Store as well. Enter that promo code Locked On to get $20 off your first purchase of $200 or more, and yeah, make some memories and make those memories by using Vivid Seats. I'm going to start with Rajon Rondo. It was funny. Jen just kept on saying, it's weird to root for Rondo. It's weird to root for Rondo. It just doesn't feel right rooting for Rondo. And I get it to a large extent. Rondo was on those Celtics teams that, I mean, we hate all Celtics teams, but any Celtics team that the Lakers meet in the finals, like, you're going to hate them that much more. And he was a nuisance on those Celtics teams. And that's kind of, it was kind of fun to be the beneficiary of his nuisances. His idiosyncrasies. Well, I'm not even going to keep trying to say that word. It's late. I'm sorry, guys. But I really enjoyed watching him on the court because he's never just kind of standing still. Something is always going on, whether it's mentally, whether it's vocally, whether it's obviously physically, he's doing something. He's never just kind of there's no idle time for him out there. And it's kind of the opposite of what I was talking about with LeBron. And that, like, LeBron tries to find as many moments as he can where he doesn't have to exert himself. And as often as he can, he gets to kind of like stand there and be a little bit more idle. Because of the role that Rajon Rondo is going to be playing on the Lakers, he can kind of overexert himself in the minutes that he plays, and I just think that's kind of how he plays anyway. And frankly, I think the more I think about it, it makes more sense that playoff Rondo would be a thing and regular season Rondo would be so much worse. Is that when Rondo is really playing as hard as he possibly can and he's as focused as he can possibly be, that's pretty damn exhausting. It was tiring to watch him out there today. He's always just kind of in the background on defense, looking for ways that he can disrupt whatever. He's very good at working angles to put himself in positions based on where the shot is going up from, and where not only is he most likely to get the rebound, but also put himself in a situation where he can get that rebound on the run and really push the pace that way. So it was really fun to watch him. And then that's just on the court. Off the court, he's almost as vocal as Luke, really. I mean, whether it's screaming at the guys that are on the court, you know, certain matchups or certain angles that guys on the court need to pay attention to whenever he isn't out there, whether it's guys that are sitting there on the bench next to him, he was always in somebody's ear there. It was really fun and, again, exhausting to watch him play the way that he does and just kind of hold himself in the way that he does. That's going to be hugely valuable when Lonzo rejoins the team. And look, the starting, not starting, finishing, whatever, that doesn't mean nearly as much, especially in the preseason. I definitely don't care. I just want Lonzo to be out there and be able to learn from, listen to Rajon Rondo as much as he possibly can, because it's very obvious that the guy thinks about the game just differently, and differently in a good way. It's pioneer-esque, really, to watch him play out there. It's really fun to watch him kind of do his thing and impact the game in ways that, like, even something as stupid as, I think it was Paul Millsap at the free throw line, he shot one, and you know, it's a force of habit to go and get high fives from both guys that are on each side of the key, and Rondo kind of disrupted the path that whoever he was high fiving was going to take there, and Millsap didn't get his high five, and look, it's a dumb, stupid thing, small thing, doesn't really matter probably, but if you get to disrupt somebody from their natural the habits that they've worked on in practice or have prepared themselves for in games, and Millsap just kind of sees that, oh, I guess I'm not getting a high five over there, and he kind of has to, he's thrown off his rhythm just even a little bit, and if that leads maybe to like one missed free throw over the course of a game, well, between a team as equally matched up as the Nuggets are to the Lakers, that one point might mean something. So it's really fun to watch him play the way he does, and on a similar token, I actually think JaVale McGee deserves some praise here. He's insanely active, and I was really surprised at how long he played and for how long he remained effectively active for those stretches. He has asthma. This is a very well-known thing with him, and it's limited the number of minutes he's been able to play, but he was out there, and sure, he gets lost every so often. He had a couple funny turnovers here and there, but for the most part, I thought he was insanely active. Jokic is one of the tougher matchups for him because of his ability to space the floor. He's so skilled that, and he's such a great passer that you have to kind of have your hands up at all times so that you can affect the passing lanes that are available to Jokic. It's a tough cover for JaVale, and I thought he handled that pretty well. And then also got out there and did the things offensively that you need him to do. He's a rim runner. He creates gravity with his cuts to the basket, with his rolls to the basket. He did all of those things very well. He even had a nice little floater at one point that I didn't think he really had in his repertoire. That was kind of fun to watch. I don't want to see any possessions that result in him in any kind of ISO post-up situation. I don't think those are going to work out very well for the Lakers over the course of the year. But any kind of set that involves JaVale rolling to the basket is going to work out pretty effectively. And look, we talk a ton about the way that the court is stretched horizontally and laterally, and you think of that as kind of a 2D thing, that force of gravity. But when you can stretch the floor vertically and force teams to have to really think about, oh, well, we don't have anybody on our team that can get up there and challenge JaVale when he's fully extended going for a lob. So therefore, we either have to play the passer tighter so that pass is tougher, or we have to drop further off and maybe allow another option out there. That's a great thing for the Lakers, and that's really what they're trying to do out there is just put guys in as many awkward situations defensively, talking about the opponents. That's JaVale is going to really help in that regard. And in a regular season game, I would imagine that Mike Malone would probably have to lean on Plumlee more than he might want to, just to affect that verticality that JaVale possesses. So just a couple notes that I noticed there. I've been very positive throughout this entire show, and for the most part, I thought it was a very positive night for the Lakers. I was impressed that they were able to stick around the Nuggets for as long as they did, given how much more turnover they have to deal with than Denver did over the course of this training camp and offseason and all of those things. I don't see it with Lance. I don't think the way that he plays meshes very well with the things that Luke really wants from him. There were a couple exchanges between him and Luke where you could tell Luke was just telling him, like, move the ball. You don't have to stop the ball every time you get it. And Lance was getting, it looked a little bit frustrated with the continued repeating of that message. But that's really what it meant. I thought it hurt the Lakers the way that he kind of attacked. Now, it created some oohs and ahs, and when he got in isolation, especially in switches against Jokic or Plumlee or whomever, Hernan Gomez, whoever was guarding him out there, he had those kinds of plays that looked great and got the crowd all kinds of riled up, but I just don't think they're winning plays. And if Lance is going to work with this team, he's going to have to buy into just rotating the ball. Take a look at at the court before you get the ball, so that when you get the ball, you don't have to now stop the momentum of the ball movement to then see where everybody is positioned defensively. It hurt the Lakers, I thought, when he was out there, and there were stretches there where, you know, I think finally Luke brought in Alex Caruso because of how little ball movement there was, but there were like three or four possessions in a row where the guy who brought the ball up, or maybe the first pass after the ball crossed half court, that guy wound up taking the shot. That's just not the way the Lakers are going to beat teams this year. There are too many able passers on this team to have anybody stop the ball, especially if that person is as inefficient as Lance is. So that's my rant on Lance. And again, I'm not going to make any sweeping judgments here with anything that I saw, because it's just one preseason game. Maybe Lance will take a look at the tape and notice his ball stopping and how that affects the team. I hope so. We'll see, though. Maybe the stuff that I noticed in tonight's game are all going to be completely flipped on their heads on Tuesday night. We'll see. Who knows? But for the bigger point here was how exciting it is to have the Lakers back in our lives, to see them on the court. I thought the crowd in San Diego was incredible. The place was rocking when the Lakers would go on their runs. Anytime LeBron caught the ball, it was electric. It was a really cool time. Aside from the jackasses that were sitting in front of me, I thought it was a really cool setting for everything. San Diego is one of the cooler cities out there. The Lakers usually play about one game down there per offseason. It's well worth the trip. Make a weekend out of it. Go down there. If you have the opportunity, maybe stay in San Diego Sunday night also and make your way back up Monday. The drive back after the game tonight was kind of exhausting, especially with Jen snoring next to me the whole way up. Hi, Jen. But it was a good night. It was a lot of fun. The Lakers are back. We get basketball back in our lives again. This is what it's all about. I'm going to have hopefully a guest or two over the next couple days. I want to talk to Adam, who my host Locked On NBA with, to talk about what he saw from the Denver side. So maybe that'll be tomorrow's show. We'll see if I can get his attention long enough. But thanks for listening to this. Thanks to Mazuma and Vivid Seats for their support of the show. Let's continue to support them so that I can keep these lights on. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Congratulations on making it through the off season. It's going to be a lot of fun this year. Have a great day.